This is URN.
The Sports Show Breakdown.
We've had an absolutely farcical moment here at the King Power Stadium. Free kick just on the edge of the box. Vardy looks like he's got it lined up. Mahrez standing over it. Two quality players, perhaps the two best players in the Premier League this season. Both of them eyeing it up. Robert Huth comes out of nowhere. Charging in. Not known for his goals, it has to be said. It looks like Vardy, or I think it might be Mahrez, just tried to lay it off to him. And Huth doesn't realise he's going to do it. He's gone to take the free kick and he's just sliced all the way across it. And it's just right
out of play. Oh, my goal! Oh, it's going to be gone this season! Oh, that's unbelievable! Danielli, I'm sorry, Freddie, but you've got to see this. This is incredible! Oh, they're all going crazy here! Dele Alli, he's picked the ball up on the edge of the box. He's done a kick up over one player, he's done a kick up over another player, and he's did it on the volley first time into the bottom left-hand corner. What a goal that is. Unbelievable. Well, Villa have just had their first shot on target.
The MK Don's prodigy pulling one out of nowhere from the sounds of it.
Oh, I'm just watching it again. It's just incredible.
Oh my God, that is ridiculous.
Do you remember Suarez's goal? I think we talked about that game against Norwich where he did a kick up over a player and hit on the volley.
It's Paul Gascoigne-esque against Scotland. It really is. It's
Neymar earlier in December.
That's what it is,
from outside the box is what it is.
It's Dele Alli is what it is.
I can't even see it. This is mental.
It's unreal.
That is one of the best goals I've ever seen.
It sounds like there's been a goal.
Yeah. Leicester have made it 3-0 up against Stoke, and it's Ojoa has just come on a few minutes ago for Okazaki, and he's broken into the box and he just slid a beautiful little finish under the keeper. Great goal, 3-0 Leicester, and they put it to bed.
Goal! Finally! David,
it's
you've
a
had
goal
a goal
for Southampton!
Wow.
Oh. It's a fantastic header, and I think it's Charlie Austin. What? You believe? Yeah, the QPR fans. Yeah.
The £4 million.
£4 million, looking like he's repaid it in full. An away goal at Manchester United, and you can see, there's the United fans shouting things at the away fans. But I'm sure, well, to be honest, they're probably shouting exactly the same things at Louis van Gaal. They've not been good enough today, United. They haven't been able to score. It's a free kick whipped in. Jan Azai's first impact back in English football is to give it away. James Ward-Prowse, always dangerous. And Charlie Austin, free header, 10 yards out, centre of the goal, puts it low. It's awful, awful defending from Manchester United to leave a man like Charlie Austin free. Maybe it's because they couldn't believe he's actually a Southampton player for £4 million. Whatever it is the number 28, Charlie Austin.
28? How has he managed that?
And he's
number
10.
He
De Gea gets a hand to it, and he wheels away in celebration with his new teammate, straight over to Ward-Prowse, straight over to the Southampton fans.
So we're joined now on the phone by Ollie Samuels. Are you there, Ollie? Can you hear us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Fantastic. So your side today, AFC Wimbledon, pulling off a big result against Notts County.
Yeah, it was a really, really good game actually to be at. Wimbledon dominated the first half completely, and I have to say it was probably the goal of the season, the first one from Tom Elliott. Long ball up, knocked down by Tom Elliott to Lyle Taylor, little flick to his legs and hit first time on the half volley, top corner for 20 yards. Really, really nice goal. Just from like a Notts County point of view, they just didn't turn up at all for the whole game. It was quite worrying to see, because obviously they got relegated last season. Everyone kind of thought they'd bounce straight back up into the higher leagues, but they didn't put any kind of performance in at all.
It's not brilliant, is it, from County when they've been in a better run of form of late? And
yeah, just I kind of expected more of a game from them. Wimbledon have won 3 on the trot before today and were very confident, but County, especially in the first half, gave Wimbledon far too much space. In the middle of the park, especially, Jake Reeves just had the complete run of the ball, do whatever he want with it. And County just seemed to kind of sit right back and let Wimbledon forward through their thing.
Do you think that County's, based on what you've said from the game today, they're currently 17th in the table, level on points and goal difference with the team below them, but 5 points clear of the team below that. They're on points nearer Wimbledon in 7th than they are Dagenham and Redbridge and Yeovil in 23rd and 22nd respectively. Do you think that County could put together a run of form, or do they look like they might stand a chance of coming back into it, or did they just look disinterested in this division?
I think League Two is a really weird one because you always have a very bunched middle, and down in Redbridge, York as well, and Yeovil have been very, very poor this season, and rightly are in the bottom three. I think York is still there, but at the same time, the middle bit is very, very, very cramped, and it only does take four or five very good games in a row, and you are in the playoff places, as Wimbledon have done. We were mid-table, we were 12th, 13th the whole of the season. We've won four on the trot now, and now we're in the playoff places.
Just looking at the stats, Ollie, Wimbledon with 18 shots, 11 on target. Looking at County with 11 shots, but only two on target. Does that really reflect the game? Did County offer anything, even in the second half?
A lot of their shots in the second half were kind of from longer ranges as well. They looked quite hesitant to play up to McLeod and Jonathan Stead, who didn't really... They seemed a bit weak up front. They were quite pushed off the ball quite easily. And it was more really because of, I guess, actually the two Wimbledon centre-halves played very, very well and prevented McLeod and Stead from really getting a foothold of the game.
Just looking at it from a Wimbledon point of view, no starting place this week for Akin Fenwa. Has he dropped a little bit out of favour with the Wimbledon staff?
He's a very, very weird one, because it's not often that you have a player who's very, very good at one aspect of the game but very average at everything else. In the air, he is, you know, no one is better than him in League Two. But on the ground, passing, shooting, pace, he's very, very average. And I think it's actually right that he's been dropped from a Wimbledon standpoint of view, because we do have four goal-scoring strikers at the moment. We've got Taylor and Elliot who started today. Aziz is always a very quick kind of option off the bench, and Akin Fenwa as well. So I wouldn't actually be surprised to see him go in the summer, because we really don't actually have much room for him now, I'd say.
At the beginning of February, you've got a really tough-looking match away at the team in fourth, Bristol. And after that, it looks like you should kind of see out the rest of the month until the last game of the month at home to Oxford. Do you think are you looking for any points in those games, or are you just looking to take maximum elsewhere and rely on maybe not having the best of performances against the teams in and around your position in the table?
I think if you want to get playoffs, as we seem to do this season, then you have to beat the teams above you as well. Bristol, I'm not too worried about. Oxford are looking a very, very strong out at the moment, and you know that game is quite a long way off. Though the thing about Wimbledon, as I found over the years, is that we tend to go through very kind of sporadic patches of form. We'll have six fantastic games and then six rubbish games. So it's really the question of whether we can hold on to form, get a bit of consistency going, whether we can stay in the playoff positions we're in at the moment.
Just a final word, Ollie, on Tom Elliott. He's been in fantastic form this season. He's scoring countless goals.
Yeah, he's been really, really good. His partnership with Lyle Taylor especially has been fantastic. Just that goal I talked to you about earlier, the 1-2 with those two, and they seem to be very much on the same wavelength, like a real kind of Deeney and Igalo situation we've got going on in the Premier League. They seem to work very, very well together, which is, I guess, one of the reasons why Akin Fenwa has found it quite hard of late to break into the side.
If you don't manage to go up, do you think you'll be lucky to hang on to Elliot?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we got him from a free from Cambridge, who didn't really seem to want him very much. And he has very much performed, but I think, you know, he does rely on Lyle Taylor's pace and his almost his creativity to get something out of nothing for a lot of his goals. His finishing is brilliant, though, and he often does find himself in the right place at the right time. I'd like to hold on to him. And I think maybe the way we do is if we do offload Akin Fenwa.
A brilliant result then for Wimbledon. Thank you so much, Ollie, for talking
to
us. Really appreciate that. Glad you enjoyed the game.
Thank you.
Cheers. Moving on to tomorrow's big game, Chelsea-Arsenal. Gus Hiddink has last week, I believed, but since we last had a Saturday Sports Show, stated that Chelsea are officially now in a relegation fight. They sit 14th in the league, 6 points clear of the relegation at the start of play today. What do we think of that statement? Are they realistically in a relegation fight? Honestly?
Well, you laugh, but under Hiddink, they've played 7 and drawn 5.
They haven't lost,
winning the other
lost.
Two. Yeah, they haven't lost, but that's not the form. Well, it's just about the form of a team that will stay up. They're not losing, sure, but is it better for the morale? Is it better for the team to have games where to have three draws or to have one win and two defeats?
I tell you what, they're conceding a lot as well. It's not like they've shot up the defence. They are conceding. It's 3-3, 2-2.
They got away with they got away with it last week with the whole offside
98th minute
I think you can definitely realise that we've got an Arsenal fan and two Tottenham fans stuck here. I really can't, I'm going to say categorically that there is no chance Chelsea go down.
I agree that I don't think there's a chance they'll go down, but if they do not improve their form as it is at the moment, then it takes,
so there's a chance.
Well, no. I'm saying I think they will improve their form.
Okay.
But if they don't,
yeah.
Tomorrow's game, you wouldn't normally bill it as a game where one team is struggling for form or even to stay clear of the relegation zone. Arsene Wenger is hoping to have Sanchez and Mesut Ozil back fit for tomorrow's game. What impact is that going to have on the Arsenal side?
I think it's going to have a massive impact. Arsenal, in the last few years, they've been accused of bottling it, I suppose, against the big sides, really. They'll beat the small teams, but they won't beat the big team. And Chelsea, no matter where they are in the league, they're always a massive challenge. They are a big team still. Ozil this season, he has been, in my opinion, people say Mahrez, people say Vardy. I think he's been the player of the season so far. Coming from a Spurs fan, I'd say that is me being honest. He will break Henry's assist record, I think it's 20 in a season. And Sanchez as well. He had a fantastic year last year. I think he's quite an underrated player, to be honest, even though he is still rated massively. The Copa America,
underrated of a player of Sanchez's quality, that's saying something.
I know, I really, really do. I really do think he's top 10 in the world, to be honest. I rate him quite highly, but I can't believe Arsenal got him.
Behind Dele Alli, I think we can make sure we put
but they both will make a massive difference coming back into the Arsenal side.
I don't think Sanchez tomorrow will be as big as you're suggesting. You know,
Will he play? Well, exactly.
He'll be just coming back from injury. If he makes it, he'll make the bench, I imagine. I doubt Wenger will start him, but Wenger has surprised
me before.
Yeah, that's the thing with Sanchez. He does always want to play. The game he got injured in, he shouldn't have been playing. But it's very hard to say no to a player, your best or one of your best players, who wants to play.
Yeah, I always thought Wenger's had troubles with that over the years. I always accuse him of rushing players back from injury too quickly. I think he's done it with Wilshere on a number of occasions, which hasn't helped his injury situation. But I do think it's going to be a very fascinating game tomorrow. Arsenal's record against Chelsea is not the best, and even a struggling Chelsea side losing games earlier this season managed to clinch up. Was it a 2-0?
It was 2-0.
With a bit of Diego Costa's classic classic shenanigans.
Yeah, I think if we're being totally honest, like normally we say this fixture, you know, can Wenger beat Mourinho or can Arsenal beat Chelsea? And it ends up being some of the most dull, insipid football, because Arsenal, back in the stage when they like to just boss, as in like take all the ball and pass it round loads, much more than now. I think that has changed at Arsenal. You know, they are winning games ugly. They aren't scoring, trying to walk it in. They are happy, just as happy to score a goal from a corner as they are. And that is an interesting mentality shift. And I wonder how Chelsea, when they normally big themselves up for this game, which they almost always do, normally sit back and defend quite deeply, quite solidly, and kind of two back, like two lines of four argument. And normally that works against Arsenal because they try and pass it round and pass it in, and they haven't really got that many players that can make an incisive pass so often. If Arsenal have Mesut Ozil back in that side, and this sounds ridiculous, but having watched every minute of the Stoke game last week, the nearest I've seen an Arsenal player in that squad get close to the through balls wasn't Santi Cazorla this season. Hasn't been, you know, Laurent Koscielny, although he's been able to do it in kind of a similar way that Dyer has, the kind of over-the-top long through balls that land at players' feet. It was Joel Campbell. Joel Campbell against Stoke last week was playing some passes that if Mesut Ozil had made or Andres Iniesta had made, you'd look and go, whoa, what a pass. And that may be a surprise factor. And I think it does depend who Wenger starts with. He shouldn't start with Sanchez, in my mind. He shouldn't start with Oxlade-Chamberlain either, who has been pretty poor this year. But I think even if Chelsea big themselves up, as they normally do for this fixture, I don't see them getting 3 points.
Okay, so having said what you've said about you don't think that Chelsea will go down, do you think firstly, you would rule out any chance of Chelsea getting top four, I imagine. And
more because I think the teams that are in and around the top four will keep on their form rather than Chelsea. Not sure. Chelsea could win every game between now and the remainder of the season, but I would still pick the top four as it is currently.
So once you've ruled that out, would you, being Gusenic, imagine Gusenic, would you rotate your squad at all in the Premier League, considering you've got Champions League football and FA Cup football, which is probably a priority?
But only if they've got games to worry about immediately that require their concern.
This is URN.
The Sports Show Breakdown.